Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, April 18th, 2017. And with me today, I have Jeff Butts. How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am good. I'm glad to have you here. And Dave Hamilton, I hope you're doing well.
I am. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. I consider this a powerhouse team today. And we have a sponsor today. That sponsor is Blue Apron, which I'm pretty excited about. We'll talk about them in a bit. And on a side note, thank you to everyone that helped me out with the word I could not remember yesterday. Every one of you rocks. I'll talk about that too. But first, we've been talking about the new iPhones that are coming this fall, the leaks that we've been getting. And one thing that we really haven't talked about much is the new iMacs that we do know are coming this year, because Apple told us that very thing. And they said that we're going to be getting Pro features on a new iMac model. And it's looking like this is something that we'll be seeing late this year. And I was curious, what would you like to see in a Pro iMac? And I'll start. One thing that I would like to see is additional memory slots.
Absolutely.
I feel that for Pro users, even though you can put, 32 gigs of RAM in a top-end iMac?
That sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, that's what Apple says, and I believe that Mac Tracker agrees with that. And I'm checking just to make sure. No, they say 64 actual 32.
Oh, so Apple. Dual 32 slots. Okay, that's an interesting thing that Apple does.
No, there's four slots.
Oh, there's four slots
in the 5K iMac. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Okay, so interesting thing that I've noticed Apple does is they will list the maximum RAM a device can hold based on what's available to them when the product ships. So a product that they list as maximum of 32 gigs of RAM, that's probably two 16 gig RAM chips. And later on, when chip makers can create a 32 gig chips that are the same size as that 16 gig, then many times you can take those 32 gig chips and pop them in, and now you can have 64.
Yeah, but that I like your logic, except we've proved it wrong, right? Because in late 2015, when most recent iteration of the Retina 5K iMac came out, it's a four slot device, and Apple says only 32 gigs, and I know 16 gig chips were available then.
Oh, so that's a good point.
So I like your logic, but it almost defends Apple for this silly thing that we see them do, but we see it like day of release, where, you know, OWC or Crucial or somebody comes out and says, yeah, we tested it. You can, you know, maybe it's not day of release, but, you know, shortly thereafter we tested it. Right. Yep, you can put these chips in, you're good to go. So I don't know why it is that Apple does this. And maybe it's that they don't want to ship a device. I mean, we're just speculating here. They don't want to have to price a device in the store with that kind of configuration. So they don't offer, I don't know.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. It doesn't. No. All right. What's interesting is Mac Tracker says that the original Retina 5K, you know, iMac from late 2014, still with four slots, can only do 32 gigs. So that's an interesting part. Now, maybe they haven't updated it, but they usually are pretty good with that.
That's true.
Yep.
All right. So I had it in my mind that the 5K iMac had two RAM slots, not four.
No. So it's got four.
So a four.
All right. So we want a machine that Apple specifically says can support 64 gigs. I mean, do we want a machine that has 128 as a Pro machine?
as a pro machine, I mean, there's so much that I can do with my MacBook Pro with 16 gigs of RAM. I do not feel like I'm being hampered by not having 32 gigs of RAM in this. So part of me says maybe wanting to be able to put 128 gigs of RAM in an iMac is something that people want just because they want it, not because they need it. But on the other hand, there are probably some people out there that would find a way to burn through 128 gigs of RAM.
Virtualization,
heavy duty video rendering, you know, things like that, you know, where you might need the extra RAM for buffering.
Sure.
So the Mac Pro, the existing, you know, cylinder Mac Pro, mm-hmm. Apple says 64 gigs in the four slots that exist. Mac Tracker says 128.
Interesting.
So maybe that's what we should expect out of an iMac this year. But it would be nice if Apple just said, "Yep, it'll be 128. You can, you know, go nuts." I mean, that would be a nice thing. Okay, so there's RAM. Mm-hmm. What about let's talk GPUs, right? Because that's sort of the Achilles heel of the current Mac Pro, or at least one of them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So for a GPU that you can pack inside an iMac case, how high-end can we go? Because we do have thermal considerations as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how high-end they can go. I mean, I'm assuming that we can get GPUs that are more powerful than what Apple offers today from AMD or NVIDIA. So,
right.
And actually, yeah, Apple needs to do something about the GPU, the more I think about it, because if we're talking about computers that today cannot handle the VR functions for products that are currently on the market, then Apple is missing an opportunity there to provide better performance to their users.
Absolutely. Okay, so we say that Apple's got to bake in a better options for for GPU into the iMac. But if we also then extend this to, and I think it's a safe assumption that we will see at least some Thunderbolt 3 capable USB-C ports on this thing, mm-hmm. then that opens up the doors for external GPUs.
Yes, and now that NVIDIA has their Pascal line drivers out, at least in beta, that offers some really great opportunities for better graphics performance. So, all right, so now I'm going to take us on a little bit of a tangent here with this. So if we're adding graphics cards to an iMac, in this case through an external chassis, why can't Apple give us an iMac that pops open, sort of like a briefcase, so we can swap out the card internally? Now, I totally get that means a thicker computer.
It won't look pretty. They won't.
I know.
They won't.
Oh, I know they won't.
But I think they will with the new Mac Pro. It won't be an iMac. But yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jeff. I didn't mean to step on.
No, that's fine. I would love to be able to swap out the graphics card on an iMac, but I'm with Dave. They're not going to do it. Adding the additional footprint to allow for that daughter card would just make it too thick, and they won't do it.
I agree completely, and I have seen all-in-one PCs from other companies that do this very thing, and they're cool in that you just pop a handle and the whole thing opens up, like you just fillet it, and you can replace hard drives and CPUs and add RAM and do different video cards and all of that. And it's really flexible, but it's this clunky box on an arm. Mm-hmm.
I would still like to see the back of the iMac open up like a briefcase, just not adding in that daughter card for the GPU because of what you just mentioned, swapping out the hard drive. Swapping out the hard drive on an iMac right now, I believe Otherworld Computing calls it an expert task.
Because and of I all think that that's you have to totally accurate.
Yeah.
It's petrifying. For anybody that hasn't done it or hasn't looked into doing it, getting into any of the iMacs involves pulling the front glass off and then pulling a bunch of screws out and taking the screen off. So you're not actually seeing, you can't touch the screen on your iMac. You touch the glass that's on the front, and that's held on with magnets. So you have to use suction cups on your iMac to pull this piece of glass off. And then you have a 27 inch diagonal piece of glass to not break while you're doing other things. Right. So this is a very large thing. And of course, then the fun part is when you put it all back together, you have to get the dust off of two surfaces at once, because you have to get it off the actual display and off the inside of the glass. The outside of the glass, of course, you can worry about after the fact, but doing it on the internal display and the inside of the glass, it's a pain in the neck. And that's required to do anything other than upgrade RAM. So yeah, coming in from the back would be nice, but I feel like Apple's not going to make that design compromise.
I think you're right.
I think they're not making a Mac Pro in an iMac case. They're making a Pro iMac. That's what they told us. Who knows what they're actually doing?
Yeah,
I think for the stuff you want, you are going to buy a box that doesn't have a screen attached in, you know, baked into it. Yeah.
So the running theme that I'm getting from everything that we've mentioned so far is we want to see easier upgradability in a Pro iMac.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to see easier upgradability in all of Apple's products, to be honest.
Right. But if they're going to call it a Pro iMac, that is, I think that's a feat. That's what they need, right? Because and Marco Arment put together a good piece earlier this week where he said, you know, Apple's whole design philosophy is that of saying no, right? It's it's a with a nod toward minimalism. I don't want to say it's minimalist, but it is certainly with a nod toward minimalism. And that's awesome, right? That means that the iPhone and the MacBook are great, and even the iMac are great machines. OS X or Mac OS now is a good OS, you know, because they don't let it do everything under the kitchen sink. That frustrates us geeks sometimes, but it is a good thing. But that asterisk next to it frustrates us geeks sometimes is a very relevant asterisk to not dismiss when you're making a machine that you're calling a Pro machine, because there is no one size fits all for the Pro market. I mean, even here, we're kind of coming up with these things, but you distilled it perfectly, Jeff. You said, we want easier upgradability on this thing so that if you want more RAM and I want a faster GPU and Jeff wants a different hard drive, we can do this without it being this, oh, what a headache, right? You know, we want to go, quote unquote, back to the old days where it's easy to tear your computer apart. They didn't look nice, but man, getting in and out of an old Dell box, that was cake. Even and Apple even did this for us with their, you know, Mac Pro towers, right? Where we could just get inside them. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yep. Remember that blue and white?
Oh man, yes, and yeah.
I mean, that changed the world.
That was a brilliant design.
Yeah, and that was like the thing where it was like, "Hey, wait a minute! You know, I can do this without having to sacrifice how it looks. Now, I mean, if we took one of those today, maybe we wouldn't say it looks sexy, but back then, man, it did.
It totally looked sexy back then. Yeah. All right. So upgradability. I knew if we sat down and really talked this through, we'd figure out what it is we really want. I didn't expect it to distill down to a single word or two words, easier upgradability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. There you go.
Right.
All right.
Supported upgradability.
There we go.
Yes.
There we go. I think
encouraged upgradability, right?
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, when we start getting leaks about what this Pro iMac is going to include, we'll have to come back and revisit this and see if the leaks and rumors fit with what it is that we actually want in an iMac.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Blue Apron. And yesterday when I was talking about the seared salmon that I had the other day that came with this grainy thing that I loved and hadn't experienced before and totally forgot the name, Faro. And thank you to every one of you that contacted me yesterday to tell me it's Faro. And the great thing is, it turns out every one of you that contacted me and told me Faro also told me you learned about Faro because it was in one of the Blue Apron meals that you had ordered. So that's just really cool. So what I love about Blue Apron, in addition to the fact that it's apparently become a whole dining community for me, is that they find the best quality ingredients they can for the meals that they put together for us. And they take all these fresh ingredients, put them in a box, ship them right to your door, give you these beautiful recipe instruction sheets that give you photographs, show you everything you need. I love that the little spices and seasonings and other little things that go in are in these separate little pouches that are organized for each meal so that you don't have to worry about accidentally mixing up ingredients. And I love that each one of the instruction sheets or recipes that you get tells you exactly how to prepare the meal and in what order you need to do everything. So not only are you learning how to make a good meal, you're also learning some really great skills for more efficiently preparing any other meals that you may come up with. So not only are you getting good food, but you're getting this great little bit of education to go along with it. And the food tastes good. I've been very happy with everything that I've eaten. Also, turns out I love Faro. Had no idea. So what I would love for everyone to do is head over to the Blue Apron website, and that's blueapron.com/TDO. The meals, they're already really affordable because it's going to cost you less than $10 per person for a meal. But when you go to that special URL, blueapron.com/TDO, you're going to get the first three meals off your order for free. Also, you get free shipping. So it's a really great way to try this out and experience for yourself how good the food is. And I've been impressed with this, and I'm pretty picky about what I prepare because I don't have time to eat junk food. So Blue Apron has totally nailed it for me. blueapron.com/TDO. Head over to their website, get your first three meals on your order for free. Also, you get free shipping. Thank you, Blue Apron, for being our sponsor. Okay, we're almost out of time, but there's one other thing that I wanted to run through real quick. Jeff, you wrote a piece yesterday talking about how we can disable the camera on our Macs without having to do things like put a piece of tape over the lens and stuff right. like that. And am I wrong in assuming this is like ridiculously complicated, like far more complicated than it should be?
It is far more complicated than it should be. And part of it is because Apple is trying to protect us from ourselves.
As they often do.
Yeah, as they often do. They started with El Capitan with this system integrity protection, or I'll just call it SIP. Mm-hmm. And it prevents you from changing system level files and folders. And that's why in my walkthrough of how to do this, you have to reboot into recovery mode so you can turn that feature off. And then it's still even more complicated than it needs to be, because there are 5 different files that you have to change the permissions on in order to disable that camera.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And but once it's done, now your camera is disabled, and that means that there's no application that can grab the camera and use it?
Absolutely. Yeah, it cannot be used at all. If you open up an app that requires that camera, it will tell you there's no camera available.
Okay. So if you're like really security and privacy paranoid, then this is something you can look at doing. But also, if you're that security and privacy paranoid, then you're probably really limiting what you're doing on the internet and the applications that you're using, and may have actually opened up your computer and cut the wires to the camera.
Possibly, which is a little more drastic than I'd recommend doing. Sure. But
yeah, no, don't cut wires in your computer. That's a bad idea.
Yeah.
So, all right. Now that I've accepted the fact this is painfully difficult for the average person to do, why would someone want to do this?
Well, I've seen it in doctor's offices where they want to, you know, like HIPAA requires that you not film people in your office. And so, I mean, I've seen it in doctor's offices that choose to standardize on Macs, which of course we all like, that they, and, or any computer that's got a camera in it, that you've got to put a piece of tape or, you know, some sort of cover over that camera.
You know, okay. And a piece of tape over the camera, I can see where for legal requirements like HIPAA, where that may not be as legally effective as you would hope, because there's no guarantee the tape is always there.
Right.
So doing something where you permanently disable the camera without having to crack the case open. All right. Now I'm getting it. So if it's like serious, really important security and legally mandated security, this is the way you do it.
And quite frankly, this is easier than trying to cut the wires on the camera, you know, for the reason we talked about earlier, how difficult it is to get into the inner workings of your iMac.
All right. So now, Jeff, you've actually done this and it worked.
I have. Yep, and it worked.
And were you able to reactivate your camera?
Yes. And I showed that.
I know, I was totally leading you on there.
Yeah, the last picture of my ugly mug was taken after I reactivated the camera.
All right, so this is something that that intelligent mortals can handle, which I would consider all of us. And all right, so now if at some point...
Honestly, anybody who can cut and paste can do this, as long as that's all they do.
That's a good point. As long as it's all they do, because if you don't add your own thinking in,
if you don't know what you're doing, that's right.
Right.
Yeah. Follow the instructions closely and exactly.
Yes.
All right. Good advice. Okay. Well, now I have a better understanding of why someone would want to do this. And I'm so glad that you put together the how-to, because I'm betting there are people out there that are in the very position that you've described, where for legal reasons, they need to shut that camera off, and now they'll be able to do it. So thank you for writing that up.
No problem.
And with that, we're out of time, so we need to wrap up. Dave, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And Jeff, thank you for being here as well.
Always a blast, man. Always a blast.
Every single time. And Blue Apron, thank you for being our sponsor today. head over to their website, blueapron.com/TDO. Get the first three meals off your order for free. Plus, you get your free shipping. And see if you can find something that has farro in it and try it out, because that's surprisingly good stuff. And listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.